Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Coming up in the next hour of the programme, as fallout continues from that extraordinary merger between the PGA Tour and the Saudi-backed LIV Golf, we'll get the very latest reaction. Evelyn visits the Criminal Courts of Justice to meet the team supporting victims of crime through the courts process. And as I mentioned, Harry Barry and Anne-Marie Craven will have advice too on how to protect your teenager's mental health. Now though, a groan, a yelp or a whimper, we are conditioned to react to pain in a certain way when we bang our toe or we burn our hand. But it's a very different story for our pets, and recognising pain in cats and dogs can be difficult, so knowing what to look out for is vital. And joining me in the studio now to explain more is vet Sarah Bolan. Sarah, you're very welcome. Thank you for being here. Now, we need to think, just as I described there, we need to think differently when we're looking at how our pets express pain, don't we? Because it's nothing like how we would do it.
Absolutely. There's very little overlap really between how our pets show pain and how we do. We're associating crying or vocalizing with pain, but more often than not, our pet's pain is progressive and it can be chronic, like arthritis or toothache or back pain. And so the signs are a lot more subtle because they've evolved to hide pain so that they don't appear weak to the pack. So what we think pain looks like, very often it appears differently.
So how do they express pain?
So I suppose cats and dogs would be the most common pets that I would see with pain problems. Definitely it's more recognised in dogs than in cats. With our dogs, we will see things like stiffness, limping, lack of desire to go for a walk, or maybe a desire to go for a shorter walk. They want to turn around and go home, less likely to jump up on the sofa or go up and down stairs. Sometimes they can be just more lethargic. They can sleep more, lick at a joint, or be slow to eat. So they're subtle signs. You have to look out for them to recognise.
And
them.
Is it the same with cats?
With our cats, they deal with pain slightly differently. They kind of get more stressed from it. So they can over-groom. So sometimes people will bring me in cats and they have bald patches because they've been stressed and they've pulled out their hair, or they might actually start to get mats along their back because they can no longer turn around to groom themselves. Again, the lack of jumping up and down or the slow movement stiffness you can also see. But cats, because they're slightly less close to us throughout the day, they might go out into the garden or keep to themselves. It's harder to see it again in cats even than it is in dogs.
Okay. And I mean, pain can be caused by many different things, yes. But are there common causes of pain?
Yes, I suppose there's kind of two categories. There's acute pain, which is sudden pain, like you get from a fall or if they were hit by a car or something dramatic like that. And then there's chronic pain. So chronic pain would be something that most pets at some point in their life, if they live to old age, will experience with the development of arthritis or dental disease. So they would be kind of the two most common things that we would see. And it again would affect both our cats and dogs. Mm-hmm. And it does affect our smaller kind of rabbits and guinea pigs and things as well.
Dental pain is something we don't think about very much, is it, when it comes to pets?
It's very often missed. As humans, we think that if there was a pain in their mouth, they wouldn't eat. But it actually takes a lot for our pets to stop eating. So the signs, again, they can be subtle. They might start just chewing from one side of their mouth. They could drop their food, start drooling a lot, smelly breath, things like that.
Nice.
So if you know what to look for, they're subtle signs, but they are there.
Worth as well reminding us what we should be doing, mm-hmm. particularly when it comes to dogs, to guard their dental health.
Yes, absolutely. So there are some things that we can do in terms of our dietary choices for our dogs. So I would always suggest a complete dry food diet rather than using the tins or the sachets. It's designed to crack over their teeth in a way that kind of encourages the plaque to be dissipated rather than to build up.
Mm-hmm.
You can get additives for their water that helps to break down the starting stages of plaque buildup. It's also important that you would get a dental check with your vet regularly. So at your annual health check, your vet will check your pet's teeth. And if there is signs of dental disease, they will more often than not recommend a dental, in which case your pet's teeth are scaled and polished the same way we would get a scale and polish, because they generally can't floss, and even if you are good at brushing your pet's teeth, it's not as efficient as you would do with your own teeth.
You mentioned the tinned food there, yes, which people will put in because they feel it's nice and juicy, yes, for the dog. They might mix it in with the dry food. Is that high in sugar content though?
It can be very high in, it depends on the choice of food. Generally it's higher in fat, and you know, it might have the same percentage of protein every time you buy the tin, but the source of the protein can change. So if your dog is sensitive in its gut, if it tends to get an upset tummy, definitely avoid things like that. But it's more so the texture of it, because it's soft, it just has a tendency to stay on their teeth.
Sticks.
And encourage bacterial growth. Mm. Yes, exactly.
See, if you've been feeding your dog that and you try to move on, you'll find they won't eat for a while. They'll turn their noses up.
They can be quite stubborn, and they know when there's a better offer on the table, and sometimes it's literally off of our table, and they sit and watch you while you eat your dinner and make you feel very guilty. But it's important to remember that the choices that you're making are for them in the long run, and they will eat until they burst sometimes. So if you offer them the nice things, they'll keep going. And it's a little bit like I say to clients all the time, if your child wanted a slice of cake for every meal, you wouldn't give it to them. Mm-hmm. And they will want the slice of cake for every meal, so you have to make the choice for them.
Okay, and this is a question about a golden retriever, and that's a breed. They'll eat until they fall over if you let them. So this golden retriever is 8 and is very reluctant to eat his food, his dried nuts. He takes them if I mix in a bit of peanut butter or yogurt. Mm-hmm. Is that okay? And what do you think is going on there? That could be dental pain, could it?
It could be dental pain. So it would depend on the age of the dog. It could also be arthritis. So joint pain can manifest as a loss of appetite. And sometimes, particularly for large breed dogs, the action of putting their head down into the bowl can actually be painful on their shoulders and elbows. So raising up the food bowl can be helpful. It would definitely be worth getting their mouths checked. As a whole, our small breed dogs are more commonly affected by dental disease, but there's no breed exempt from it. So
a cat question next. Yeah. This cat that we've been told about by our listener gets fits of rapid running in the house. Is that pain or a hairball, they ask?
So some of our pets, particularly the younger ones, can get, we call it the zoomies, certain times of the day.
Tizzies, we call them in our house.
And they just kind of get this burst of energy, and it can happen randomly. But if it seems to be that they're running from something, that can be pain. It could be gut pain, it could be joint pain, but it would be worth looking at the situation surrounding it. If it's just randomly during the day and they're in a happy demeanor, or if they're running and trying to hide, they would show whether it's just a burst of energy or it's something maybe painful.
You mentioned raising the bowl up as a way that we can help them. What else can we do to help manage the pain at home?
So if we suspect joint pain, so that would be slow to rise, stiffness, less playful, things like that. One of the big things we can do, because we tend to have our pets in the house, particularly in the kitchen and sitting room, if our floors are tiled or hardwood or something slippy, if you buy mats, just the cheap doormats, and you can make a path for your pet, and it's more friction for them to walk on, there's less chance that they'll slip or have to put so much pressure through their feet to stay upright, and that can help with joint pain. Keeping them slim is a really, really beneficial thing. So it's one of the biggest things we can do as our pets age, is keep them trim, because the heavier they are, the more weight goes through that joint.
Now, and of course, for and I'm sure you see this in practice, for the pet owner, it can be very difficult to have to witness a pet in pain.
Yes.
There's an emotional toll that this takes.
Absolutely. Particularly when they come in and they maybe didn't initially recognise the signs of pain. You can feel quite bad that you didn't recognise it at the start. And they do hide it. So it's important to remember that they've tried to hide it from you. And it's an awful thing to see. None of us want our pets in pain. But in terms of veterinary intervention, there's a huge amount that we can do, even from supplements and food choices, the whole way up to medicating them. So there's way more options than there were even 2 or 3 years ago now in managing pain in our pets.
Even for a pet like this who cannot have the teeth descaled, according to this listener, because of a heart problem.
Yeah.
Now, if the teeth are causing a problem and you can't have them descaled, what do you do?
So for those pets, I always think it's important to see a cardiologist if there's pain, because sometimes there can be choices made with the anaesthesia to make it safer, even if there is a heart problem, an underlying heart problem there. Because again, quality of life is the most important thing. And if they're in chronic pain, it's an awful thing to witness. There are medications that we can put our pets on to help manage pain. Toothaches are very hard to ignore, but there are pain management protocols that we could put in place.
Now, I think I know what you're going to say to this, but I'm going to ask you anyway, because a listener has asked me to put this to you. Can a good fresh bone from your butcher clean your dog's teeth?
So bones are quite hard, so they do have a reputation for being able to break plaque off of your pet's teeth. The general rule of thumb is that if you can't make a dent in the toy or the thing that you're giving your dog with your fingernail, it's too hard for their teeth. So just as well as bones break plaque off teeth, it also breaks their teeth. And a fractured tooth is incredibly painful. Again, they'll still eat, so they'll have a fracture in their tooth or a break in their tooth, and food will pack down into that break and they'll end up with a dental abscess. Mm-hmm. So a bone will break off plaque, but it will actually end up resulting in a lot more substantial dental disease in the long run.
And tummy problems as well. We've experienced that in our house. It's
particularly with cooked
bones. Are banned.
Yeah, no bones. My general advice is absolutely no bones. Particularly cooked bones, they're the worst, but no bones is my advice. Yep.
Thank you very much for coming in. Some great advice there, Sarah, on what to do if your pet is in pain, or how to even recognise that your pet is in pain. And you'll be back with us soon, and we'll talk to you then. Sarah Boland there, who's a vet from Clane in County Kildare. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.